All right, opening up the Lomo Lounge once again. The lights on. We got a special guest today at the bar, and it is none other than my good friend, peer, podcast host, Ted Hallowell. How are you doing, bud?
What is up? I'm happy to be on this finally. I'd like to have a reason to be on this.
It's nice to have you on, though, bud.
Yeah, you've been so kind about having me on, letting me weasel my way onto every Christmas special on No Hugging, No Learning, your Seinfeld podcast. And we recently did a Halloween episode about The Burning because it was a Seinfeld adjacent, a Jason Alexander horror film. So yeah, when we're trying to get some more guests on, the opportunity arose.
Yeah, this season might be filled with guests, which is nice, which is a good little change of pace and just having to listen to me and you talk for 40 minutes. So that'd be good.
100%. Right off the bat, I have questions for you guys. So this is our Halloween Kills episode. This is a movie that I was looking forward to so very much. I was in Disney World on vacation, and there is an AMC at Disney Springs. And I kept seeing trailers on TV at night for the movie, and I was like this close to taking the listeners can't see, but my fingers are very close together. I was this close to taking a bus to AMC Springs by myself and seeing the movie. It is streaming on Peacock, so don't feel like you have to catch it in theaters. But I've got so many questions for both of you, and I don't know where to start. I'm going to actually start with Jimmy just briefly because Jimmy. You said that you thought you had seen the 2018 film.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this like a couple of times, and you were like, I think I've seen it. And upon watching it, it is riddled. It takes place right after that movie, and it is like riddled with characters from that film. So my question for you is, can you confirm or deny that you have seen Halloween 2018 and whether or not this made any sense to you?
I think at this current time, I think I have to deny that I've seen Halloween 2018 because I was like, wait, what? Who? where'd you come from? I was like, oh, there's Lori. Hi, Lori.
Yeah, for
what happened to Lori? Why is she bleeding out?
For all 5 minutes of screen time Jamie Lee Curtis has in this movie.
Yeah, I still think I saw it, but I don't know. I'm going to have to watch it again. There's still plenty of October left. We'll watch it.
Was it difficult to follow, or were you able to put the pieces together relatively?
No, I was able to put the pieces together, which also makes me think maybe I saw it. I don't know.
Well, that leads me to Ted, who I don't know why. I don't even know why I asked you this in the first place. I just knew it was coming up. And I think I had initially asked you and Tim because there was like one guy in this movie that was in Seinfeld, or maybe two characters, and so we have you here today, and I did not know this, you had not seen any of the Halloween films prior to this.
The only slight correction on that, the only Halloween movie I had seen prior to my binge of Halloween, and Halloween Kills was Halloween 3 Season of the Witch.
Oh my god, I forgot that we watched that on Halloween together. A movie that does not have Michael Myers at all.
No, it doesn't.
No, that was the only Halloween movie I had seen.
Okay.
What a nice world where like you saw the one where Michael Myers wasn't in. Like, that's crazy. To you, you're like, oh, look at this new character. That's great. I like him.
I like that they're freshening up the franchise with a new face. Yeah, that movie has Stonehenge and robots and an Irish prankster god instead of a serial killer. You graciously spent the time watching Halloween, and Halloween Kills. And so we'll start with you and we'll just talk reactions. But before we get to Halloween Kills, you got to let me in a little bit on your... We just did an episode on Halloween, the original. Let me know your thoughts on what was your experience like watching Halloween for the first time, and then what were your thoughts on Halloween 2018?
Original Halloween first?
Yes.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, it holds up as a classic horror movie, I guess. It's still scary. I, for whatever reason, didn't know that there isn't like some origin story background for Michael Myers. And I only say that with the basis of, with Freddy, he's this like school or whatever. I don't remember like how he becomes like this. I'm getting Freddy mixed up with Willy from the Treehouse of Horror. But
yeah, they're the same.
Freddy,
they're one
like,
and the same.
Like there's a legend of like Freddy gets burned somehow and he's coming back for revenge, I think. Or maybe that's all Treehouse of Horror.
The parents. Yes.
Okay. With Jason, he's at least I don't know. What there's something there with Jason. My knowledge of all of these franchises is so incredibly limited that I cannot really describe it. But with Michael, I was very surprised to see, oh, he's just a 6-year-old kid who killed his sister.
He's still a 6-year-old kid. He still is. Still is 6.
Yeah. It's interesting that you bring this all up because Jess asked me this the other day. She was like, I get Jason and Michael confused. And Michael is like the only one that is. So like Freddy was in the original series, he was mislabeled as a child molester killer kind of person. Mm-hmm. And the parents set his shack on fire and he burned. Jason comes along and his mother, because he is a disabled boy that is made fun of and is overlooked by the counselors, and he drowns. So then he goes after these counselors that are having sex and not paying attention to the campers and stuff. Michael Myers, in the words of like Dr. Loomis throughout the whole thing, is just, he's pure evil. He is evil incarnate. He just loves stabbing stuff.
You got a lot of stabs in this movie, man. Lots of stabs.
Yeah. Good amount of stabs. So that brings us up to Halloween Kills. Wait. Tell us about Halloween 2018 now.
I really enjoyed Halloween 2018. I, for whatever reason, wasn't at all interested in watching it whenever it came out. I think because I knew that I had never seen any Halloween movie before that and really didn't trust like Hollywood reboots. But I didn't know that it was like a direct continuation off of the original Halloween, branching off into its own separate timeline. That kind of like changes things. That interests me a little bit more. I thought it was like a full reset on everything. And I was like, I'm not into that. But actually having watched it, I really enjoyed it.
So this is actually the third Halloween 3. In a way, because you have Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Mm-hmm.
You have Halloween 4, which if you don't count Season of the Witch, is technically the third Halloween film with Michael Myers in it. And then, and that is all like, that is all Laurie being his sister timeline. Then you have the reboot, which is a direct sequel to the original, and this is now the third entry since the original in this timeline. So this is the third Halloween 3 film. And how do we want to start this? Ted, do you want to give us your first impressions?
I mean, I had heard that this movie was going to be the goriest of all Halloween movies, and that intrigued me because I was wondering like what they could do with this character, with these effects. And oh boy, I was not disappointed.
Yeah, I would agree. So the things I knew about this movie going into it, I knew that John Carpenter called it a super slasher, and he said that the body count was like going to be way higher than any of the original films, and that is definitely delivered on. This received positive reviews from fans when it first screened, and then as the critical reviews started to come in, it became immediately a lot more polarizing. And especially since release, this has turned into like one of the most polarizing. This is like close to Malignant level polarizing opinions that I'm seeing on Twitter from Halloween fans.
I can see that. I can see that.
Definitely. So I think that, well, let me ask Jimmy, what were your thoughts on Halloween Kills?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, like we said, it was going to be that super slasher movie. I don't think, so hearing that, I thought it was going to be a little bit more gory than what it was. I have to say I'm on the opposite end of things, where I was like, I was expecting a little bit more. Not saying there wasn't enough, but I was kind of expecting a little bit more out of it. I enjoyed, I don't know why, but I thought his mask looked cool. I don't know, like, all the shots of Michael looked really cool to me. Like the way that they had him lit and everything was really nice. And I enjoyed the way people were killed.
I think that that would be my main takeaway is like, it was definitely gory. It wasn't, I don't think that it was gorier than any of them because I think the Rob Zombie movies are like automatically just the most horrifyingly brutal.
Yeah, that's what I like, I remember those ones just being like every default. Like 5 seconds there was a kill and there was just blood just gushing everywhere and I'm like a little right. bit more gory.
That being said, I think this is the most the amount of kills, like the body count, as well as the I think the kills were creative in
yeah,
this.
Yeah, they were really nice.
The car door thing, I think about that. I've thought about that like every day since that happened. It's such a cool scene, like shot and scene, and I think the kills in this were super creative and delivered. I enjoyed this film. I kind of think this is like not a very good movie. I'll be like, as somebody who was very excited for this, I think that it like falls apart kind of quickly if you think about it too much. I don't think a lot happens. So originally they had approached Blumhouse with this idea for 2 Halloween movies. And Blumhouse decided to turn it into a trilogy. And so to me, this very much feels like kind of there's not a lot happening. It's just kind of like placeholder almost, which I'm like
so
not
this
that
is,
mad about.
So there's another
this
one
is
coming?
The 2 towers of the Halloween movies.
This is the 2 towers of the Halloween movies, but like the 2 towers, I almost said twin towers, but like the 2 towers, Jimmy's eyes, Jimmy doesn't like 9/11 jokes. We don't make jokes on this podcast. But like the 2 towers has the greatest battle of the whole Lord of the Rings series.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Has the greatest kills of the 3. So I'm like, okay with it. I think that it just seems like it's stretched out. And to answer Jimmy's question, yes, Halloween Ends is the title of the 3rd film, and it comes out next year, okay. Next October. They're filming now. I think that this felt like adding the whole. There's just I don't know. There's a lot to go over. I guess the what I didn't like was the dialogue. 100%. I think some of the writing was like really corny.
I don't think they paid much attention to the dialogue, to be honest with you. I guess I agree with you on that. I just think in a movie like this, I just think dialogue comes like 3rd almost, like in most of these films.
For sure.
Like dialogue's like a 3rd. It's not really like a main focus, unfortunately, because it does take away from the movie.
There's one thing I really want to touch on with this, and Grace, my wife, watched the movie with me, and she's not a big horror movie person at all. She really can't watch anything with like this much gore or this scary. But she sat through Halloween 2018 and Halloween Kills like a real fucking trooper. Sorry, can I swear on this?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely can.
Okay, cool. She sat through it like a real trooper. And she said, what's the character's name? Allison, yes. Lori's granddaughter, gave her really big theater kid energy, and I have to agree, because it's just like the way that she is blocked in her movements and the way she delivers some lines. I think it's the scene where like she's leaving the hospital. It's the scene where she's leaving the hospital, going out, grabs the shotgun, and out of
yep
Lonnie's car, maybe? I don't even remember what she said, but we both cringed and just went,
I can give you
at the same time.
I can give you the line because it's the same line that made me mad. So here's the thing, people have been complaining about the mob stuff, but that stuff doesn't bother me as much. They do say evil dies tonight like 30 times.
Was that it? Are you sure that's it? Can we get a counter on that?
They do say that line a lot. That doesn't bother me as much because I did find that to be like, I do actually really kind of like the idea of like this town being fed up with this thing that's like haunted them and like defined them for like so long that they're just like, enough is enough. We're done with it. We're taking things into our own hands. And I recently rewatched Halloween 4. It's one of the best sequels in the series. A similar thing happens where the town mob takes things into their own hands because the police aren't doing their job. And so I thought that was like a really good callback. The line, the stuff that bothers me, and it is that Allison line specifically, she says, in a very theater kid way, she says, he's haunted this town for 40 years. Tonight, we hunt him down. And like, the thing is, it's that times like 10 because like every character has a line like that. Like every character in this movie at some point has some like line where they're like,
Allison wasn't the only person to have a line like that in that scene.
No, it happened a couple
Lonnie
times.
Lonnie had one, Tommy had one, and Allison had one all in that fucking scene.
Tommy's like, I have, and I'm gonna be the one that kills him.
Yeah, you get, you know, like, I don't it's know, like, you get kind of sick of Tommy after a while, I'll be honest with you. You're like, all right, dude, we get it. Like, we get it.
Yeah.
Especially when he comes running into the ER, and Lori's laying there, and he's just like, get out of my way, we have to tell her. And he's like, Michael's still alive! And he's like, starts a mob. I was like, what the hell?
Isn't it insane that that's Anthony Michael Hall?
It's just
like obviously it has been like 30 years, yeah. But I cannot believe how much he doesn't look like himself. Like he's older, obviously, and he's like kind of jacked or like a big dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so scrawny in like the teen movies that he was in. I guess the one thing that I will say is I do kind of like this idea that each character feels like they have a reason, like a personal vendetta, and like it's like, you know, I have to be the one that kills him because he did XYZ to this person I know. Or I do kind of like that idea. I just think like after the fifth or sixth time that I heard somebody say a line like that, I was like, this is like out of hand. Like the writing on this is pretty poor.
My favorite Allison line is when they're, I mean, we'll touch on this scene later, but when she's on the floor and Michael has her, and she's like, mom, no, mom.
Wow, Jimmy, that was
good.
Oscar performance. Mm-hmm. That was really good.
Thank you.
I love that. That's a big reason why I feel like this is placeholder is how little time Jamie Lee Curtis has in it. It almost feels like this was the middle. So, you know, obviously this is like the middle third of a trilogy, but it almost felt like this was the middle act of a movie where it's like she would be in the hospital for, you know, half an hour. And then at the end, there would be this resolution where she breaks out of the hospital and goes and confronts Michael. And you just don't get that because this, you know, 30 minute sequence has been stretched out into a feature length film.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that being said, I again still really did enjoy this. Let's talk a little bit about Big John and Lil John.
Yes.
Because I love Michael McDonald. Great.
I was gonna say, as soon as I saw them pop up, I was like, is the unwritten subtitle of this movie Michael Myers commits a hate crime?
I'm trying to think who's who. I think Little John is played by Michael McDonald of Mad TV fame.
Yep.
Stewart. And it is So there, you can tell the parts of these movies, I think, that Danny McBride contributed to in some ways, because the dialogue is very funny and very kind of in the first film, I'm sure Ted remembers because he just watched it, but the dad saying, "I got peanut butter on my penis." like stuff like that, just like bizarro lines. But this whole idea of Big John and Little John, they like this couple that, and like the jokes don't come from the fact that they're gay. The jokes come from the fact that they have the same name, and they have like pet names for each other. And then they're like, it's a terrible horror movie decision, but there's somebody in their house who has like marked it with blood, and they decide to like split up, and they just are doing like a Marco Polo, like Big John, Little John.
That whole like sequence at the beginning there, when they're like, you know, the back door, and they're like, "Get off of your kids," and you're like, "Okay." And then they go to the front door, and then he's like, "Did you lock the back door?" It's like, "No." And then from there, it's just like, "Oh no, oh no."
Oh no, is right. What did you guys think of the flashbacks?
I thought they were good. Them. Yeah, I think they set the tone, set the mood right. I don't think they were excessive like I thought they were going to be.
I thought they were handled. It was based on like CGI stuff. So first of all, I should say this: I thought that Dr. Loomis was CGI. He was not. He was an actor that they gave prosthetics to. And I was shocked because I thought it was CGI, and when I was watching it, I was like, that's the best CGI I've ever seen for like a person in a movie. But I thought that it was handled really well. It really retcons the ending of the first movie, by like a lot, because, you know, in the original film, Michael falls out the balcony and he disappears, and that leads into Halloween 2 and such. In this one, they catch him, which leads right into, you know, Halloween 2018 when he's like in the asylum and everything. But I thought that the tone and the way that they looked were really good. I actually really, really enjoyed the flashback sequences.
Yeah, I think that was definitely one of the most successful parts of this movie. I think I really enjoyed those. And like I said earlier, I think the kills are my favorite. Like, I just really enjoyed them. That was my favorite part of the film, were the kills.
Every time Michael was on screen, so, like, the firefighter scene.
Just perfect.
Crazy that stuff firefighter because
scene,
it's, like,
the best scene in any movie in a long time.
Well, you think about slashers, too, and you think about, like, when the last time we saw this many people. Actually, it's very funny. Ted, I was just on your show to talk about The Burning, and that's literally maybe the only other scene in a horror film I can think of where, like, that many people get murdered at one time by a slasher.
Yeah.
By a killer. Yeah.
I have one gripe with the firefighter slaughter scene, and it was only the fact that I loved everyone grabs their axe to try and, like, combat Michael, right? And then this one dude just grabs the fucking saw. I'm like, this rules. But the only thing is, who the fuck is going to charge at someone? Again, I'm trying not to back up in my chair too far because, again, I am not wearing pants. But if you're holding a saw like this, who charges at somebody like this with the blade back at you?
Yeah, it seems like a rash decision in hindsight. It seems like he was not thinking about the way things were going to go. I also think that if I saw, like, this guy kill like three or four people in front of me, I'd be like, oh, there's no way I'm gonna live through this.
I'd be gone, dude. I'm telling you right now, I'd be gone. If we were all somewhere and I just watched Michael Myers just murk both of you guys, I wouldn't pick up the biggest thing I'd find. I'd be like, I'm gonna run as fast as I can.
Right. Right, exactly.
Which wouldn't be far for me, but we would figure it out.
What were your favorite kills in the movie? If you had to pick one,
I liked so the pickaxe through the helmet in the firefighter. Yep. I thought was cool, and then the like that car scene where like Michael puts the knife through the eye, and then the door like swings around and like the gun goes off. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. How about you, Ted?
I gotta say, I definitely like the gun of whoever it was. Like the gun opens up and the gun like just slaps back into her own face and she shoots herself, really. But yeah. I loved the fluorescent light tube just puncturing the old woman.
Oh yeah, that was gnarly. That was gnarly. Yeah.
Like, that is my favorite kill as well. I think that was like when I was like, all right, like they got it right. Like this is going to be what they advertise it as being. This is going to be a brutal movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because up until that point, I mean, the firefighter kills were great too. But I was like, okay, so they're giving you a lot of kills.
They weren't very gory, but they were great kills.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like blood splashing here and there. And then seeing that, I was like, okay, they're ramping it up.
I just thought it was cool though, because like right before the firefighter scene, it's like, well, not right before it, but you just see them like die in that house. It's just the whole buildup of that whole scene was cool. And then you just see Michael just come out just ready to murder.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how they're going to handle the supernatural elements of the whole thing. Because they don't really answer any questions in this one. I think maybe they'll address it and Halloween Ends, but there have been, you know, it is kind of this thing where like Michael Myers is just a guy. And then eventually in the franchise, it was like, he's evil. And then beyond that, there was like a 3-movie run where he was like born of a cult that was like worshipped, you know, it was like they had runes and they would inflict one of their children. I just watched Halloween 6, so I know all of this. Paul Rudd's first performance, by the way. They would inflict one of their children of the tribe with the curse of the thorn, and he would like try to kill everyone in his lineage. It was very bizarre. So I don't know, because he is like a killing machine. He is unkillable. He's kind of like just goes John Wick in this movie. We should talk about the ending, because at the end of the film, we could talk about the mob stuff going into the ending. So the mob stuff. There is also this line of like, he's turning us into monsters, where you're kind of like, oh, all right,
okay, yeah.
Yeah. We get it, you know.
I can't be the only one who watching this got very, very big deja vu feelings for the insurrection riots, and you could have told me that this wasn't like postponed a year, and I would have believed that, yeah, it came out like it was supposed to this year, and this is definitely based on the insurrection riots. But nope, this was just two distinct things, totally separate of each other, that just happened to be very similar.
Real bizarre case of like art imitating life, you know, kind of thing. They kill the mental, the mental patient kills himself, rather, is driven to suicide. The more I sit with that, the weirder, I get what they were trying to do. I don't know that it sits particularly well with me. Not like really for any like problematic reason, but more just because I think it's kind of just a weird digression in the story.
Yeah, I won't beat around the bush on this one. I thought that was the part of the movie I really did not like. I don't think they needed that whole hospital scene where they're like running around and they're trying to chase him and everybody's kind of losing their mind. Like at the beginning when they're in that like little area and they're like chanting and stuff, like that's a good build up to like leave and maybe go do something. But as they're chasing them around and then they're throwing Karen down the stairs and people are just like just going crazy and none of it makes sense. And they chase him there, and this poor guy just jumps out the window. Like, that's the end of the scene. That's, like, the buildup for that. I don't think it was that successful for me, but that's
yeah,
me. But
it's
that's
very me. It's very similar to what I think is the weakest part of the 2018 film, which, spoiler for Jimmy if he hasn't seen it, but you really don't have to worry about it. It's not that big of a spoiler. And I'm curious if Ted agrees because he just watched it. But, it's not that it doesn't. It's not that I hate it, but in the 2018 movie, there's a twist where the reason and they actually mentioned this in Halloween Kills, so, like, he's not coming after Laurie specifically, idea is they're not related. You know, it was a she was in the wrong place, wrong time in the original Halloween film. And then the idea in Halloween 2018 was that he didn't, like, escape to kill her. His doctor is, like, a nut and, like, broke him out and wanted to take him home to, like, see what he could do.
I did see it. I did see it. Nope, we're good. Okay. Yeah, I did see it.
And so that is, like, that twist is, like, never quite landed for me either. I always thought that that was, like, kind of a bizarre choice. And this feels similar to me, where it's, like, it doesn't ruin the movie for me, but it feels like a digression in the story that's, like, not totally necessary.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe you could have spent the time, like, doing something else or, like, learning a little bit more about, like, what's going to happen before everything. I don't know.
I think this movie's all fat and not. It's very lean. I don't think that there's, like, or not lean, like, in the sense that it is, there's not a whole lot to chew on. Like, there's not a lot of substance, and they kind of had to pad some things. So you have this middle sequence of the movie that is where all of the hospital stuff is, and that middle sequence definitely kind of, like, sags compared to the beginning and the end, because I think the beginning of the film does a really good job of connecting it to the 2018 movie, and the end of the film I really, really enjoy. I thought it wrapped up very nicely. It's just kind of that middle section that sags a little bit for me.
Yeah, can we talk about the end?
Yes, the mob does, they do track down, they are successful in tracking down Michael Myers. So she once again, as in the first film, Karen traps Michael, and it's very, very cool. I very much like that scene where she lures him out, and then all of the headlights turn on. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but there is a woman brandishing an iron as her weapon in that scene.
I didn't see that. That's funny, though.
Which is good. So they lure him out and they beat his ass, which is very, like, interesting to see Michael Myers get his ass whooped.
That was cool, though. I did enjoy that. That was pretty cool.
Everyone's kind of taking their turns, but of course they do the one thing. They do the one thing that a vengeful mob would do, and instead of like cutting off his head to be sure or whatever, they just kind of celebrate early, and he springs back to life as to be expected, and takes out a bunch of them and goes on to kill Karen, and we get like a monologue from Jamie Lee Curtis about the nature of evil, and
allegedly kills Karen.
Allegedly, this is like an OJ.
Well, that's why.
Allegedly.
That's why I want to talk about it, because I want to see everybody's thing. Like, do we think that it actually happened, or do we think it was, like, in her mind? Do we think this is, like, real? Do we think this is, like, a dream? Because it could go either way.
What, him being him killing Karen?
Yeah. And I only say this, because, like, the way it's shot, is it's Karen staring at the window, okay? And then right after that, there's no her going into the house. There's no, like, Michael coming back. It's then her just, like, swapped. Now she's looking out of the window, and then Michael kills her. That's my only thing where I'm like, maybe that didn't actually happen because of the way that it was shot.
The more you talk about it, the more I'm swayed, because the 2018 movie is so big on PTSD with Lori that I would not be surprised if, after losing her husband and seeing all of these things happen and being chased all night, I could very easily see them swinging that into kind of like a PTSD mother-daughter thing. My initial reaction was that it did happen, and I kind of just felt like they thought they needed to eliminate one of the main characters to up the tension before the final film. But I like Karen. I like her character. I like Judy Greer a lot. I think she's really good. One of the least hammy actors in this, actually. I think she's great. So I would definitely be curious to see what they could do with her character in the next movie.
I did enjoy the Hitchcock-esque way she died, though. Like, it wasn't that gory. Yeah. It was just, like, the sudden, like, stab, change, stab, change, stab, 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 stab. That was pretty cool.
So I think one of the more interesting things about this movie too is like how the flashbacks compared to the kills now, the flashbacks did a really, really good job of looking like the original Halloween movie.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of feeling and being less about the blood and gore and more about like the terror.
Yeah.
And then it's cool because you kind of have this dichotomy of that versus this modernized version where you're seeing this lady get this fluorescent light tube shoved into her neck and all this kind of crazy shit, you know? Did you guys see the petition, the firefighter petition?
Yes. So, oh my God.
There's a petition to get the firefighter scene removed from Halloween Kills because it is disrespectful to firefighters. And then there is a second petition to shut down the first petition. And that second petition is winning because people are,
I wanna
people
make,
are like, this is dumb.
I want a third petition where that scene's longer now.
Can we add, so a longer version of that scene, but also Steve Buscemi is one of the firefighters. Mm-hmm. That would be
amazing. Can we get an alternate cut of this scene where we're just like shown real footage of the guy dressed up as Michael Myers, definitely playing a character, but murdering real life firefighters. Like it's just full on snuff film.
Yeah, I think people would love that. I think that that's the next naturally.
Well, I'm tired of all the fat people getting killed because they can't run away in movies. So I'm signing a petition. Tired of. Won't stand for it any longer. God.
So let's wrap. Let's do final thoughts. Ted, I'll start with you. I don't think we usually format wise by now. I mean, people kind of know how I feel about the movie, but I do feel like I have some conflicted feelings on this one. So it might be good for us to kind of wrap up our thoughts in a nice, neat little ball.
Okay. Are we doing like ratings too, or are we just like doing like kind of final thoughts?
However you want
on the movie.
Whatever you want to do. We usually don't do ratings, okay. But I would rate this one.
Okay. Well, final thoughts. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought the hype of it being super gory, super bloody. I thought it lived up to that. I know, like, maybe if you've seen every other movie, and you've probably seen a lot more like slashers than I have. Because granted, I haven't seen that many. I do really like them when I watch them, but I feel like because I haven't seen that many, my expectations weren't sky high. I definitely was thinking it would suck as far as like dialogue and plot. So I was kind of happy that my expectations were right on that. But I would have to give this, if I were to rate it, I would probably give it a 6 or a 6.5 out of 10. Because like I enjoyed all of the elements of it. And also, in it being a lot of fat, a lot of filler, it didn't overstay its welcome to me. Because watching this and Halloween 2018 in a single evening, I was thinking it's going to be a daunting task. We were in and out in 3 hours.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you in the sense that, like, for as much of it as it, for as fatty of a film as it is, I didn't check. Jimmy and I have the pause test,
mm-hmm.
where we can tell if a movie is starting to suck if you check how much time is left on it. And not only did I not check the time on this, but I was like surprised when it was over. I thought that it went by really quick.
Yeah,
I didn't check the time either.
So
I like that idea. I like that.
Ted would give it 6 dead firemen and a torso. I'm gonna go ahead and give it 7 dead firemen. I don't like this as much as I like this. So I recently did a ranking. Well, actually, we'll put it on Patreon because I'd be curious if people wanted to comment their Halloween rankings or compare, contrast. This would be like kind of dead in the middle for me in terms of Halloween movies. It is just shy of what I would call like a very good Halloween movie. I don't think it's as good as the 2018 film, but I think it is a good. It's not very good, but it's good. And the kills are great. The thing that you are here for, it will deliver on. you just have to put up with some questionable story elements. I think it gets weaker and flimsier the more you think about it. So you're best to kind of just watch it for what it is, enjoy it, and not think too hard. Like, even describing, even talking about it with you guys, like, I was like, man, that kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, this movie kind of sucks. But at the same time, and it's nice because it's available on Peacock, I am already kind of interested in watching it again. So, yeah, enjoyable. Enjoyable. Fun but flawed. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jimmy?
I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 flannels.
totally different rating system.
Yep. I'm throwing the fireman out the window. And they landed.
Because you show respect to our heroes.
No, I'm just wearing a flannel and I wanted to rate something out of flannels.
Jimmy says red lives matter.
Yep. The fire trucks matter, dude. To me, I think the good outweighs the bad. It gets a go see it for me. Gets a go watch it.
Okay.
Pay the $5.35 on Peacock Premium and go see it.
And here's the other thing. I forgot, so we did just rate it, but we do have our other system of whether we like the movie or not. And that is whether or not we would let the character into the bar after close. So if we're closing down the bar and Michael Myers shows up with a rowdy mob.
Yep.
And it's closed. Do we let them in past close for a drink, or do we let them stay all night? Do we shut the door in their faces and say no way? For me, I'm going to say, come on in and have a drink. Stay a while. Because even if we're not going to have you all night, I love the franchise. I love your work. Come have a drink. Tell us some Halloween stories. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm just kind of mad that we did this and they're coming in the day of our reopen, dude. We just remodeled the bar and here they are. There's blood everywhere. And Michael Myers is sitting in the corner staring at Lori. We got to get the bouncer to figure this one out. They could come in, but at 2:30, they're leaving.
That's fair. I forgot. We did just remodel the bar and there is blood everywhere. And our fluorescent lights are broken.
Well, it's good, though, because we don't have M. Night in the vents anymore, so.
Yeah, M. Night Shyamalan's not hanging around the vents. We got a whole canon going on, Ted. I'm sorry. There's lore now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Ted. Go ahead and plug away. Plug your podcast and anything you got going on.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. Check out No Hugging, No Learning. It's a Seinfeld podcast that I have with one of my former coworkers and one of my good friends, Tim Murphy. He has seen every single episode of Seinfeld and I have not. Prior to starting the show, I had never seen a single episode of Seinfeld, so I'm watching everything for the first time ever. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. It's No Hugging, No Learning. Check us out on Twitter at No Hugging. And we actually just launched our Patreon where we've got bonus content. And we are right now in the middle of our Halloween month of Patreon exclusive bullshit movie reviews. Nice. Where we are talking about a new Seinfeld universe, as we've dubbed them, movie. That has to do with Halloween. We did Hocus Pocus because what I mean by Seinfeld universe is it has some Seinfeld extra in it. So we did Hocus Pocus because of Bette Midler. We did The Burning with you, Aaron, because of Jason Alexander. And we just recently did Adam's Family Values because it's got Carol Kane and Mr. Pitt in it.
Oh, wow.
That sounds like a good time.
Great stuff.
Good time. So,
yeah, it is... No Hugging, No Learning, and patreon.com/nohugging.
Absolutely worth the money, folks. Go join their Patreon. Probably more worth it than ours, but we're going to plug ours, too. We are, if you're listening to this, we're audio only now. But if you miss our faces, you can join our Patreon to get the videos of these episodes. You can hear the episodes a day early, which reminds me, I need to upload today's podcast episode. Whoops.
It's Tuesday. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. It snuck up on me too. Let's
Well, if you joined our Patreon, you could have already listened to it on Sunday, so that's your own fault.
Yeah, that's very true. The Patreon's $3 a month is our lowest tier, less than a cup of coffee a month. Get all kinds of behind-the-scenes videos, photos, and podcast
random
stuff.
Posts, all sorts of good stuff.
Discord access, that kind of thing. We'd love to have you. Why don't you give a shout-out to our Patreon members?
Shout-out to Tyler Buckley, Dylan Painter, and Jay Irvin. Thank you, you wonderful people. You can join them at patreon.com/lomomedia. We love you. We appreciate you. Big forehead kisses.
Thank you guys so much. Mwah! And Ted, we'd love to have you back on for another movie. I would love to have you and Tim on for a movie that has some kind of Seinfeld crossover. I tried to do some research for this season, and it's looking pretty non-existent for Kubrick and Carpenter. But we'll look into it next season, and we're always doing after the movies, so new movies are on the table as well. We'd love to have you both come back on. Thank you so much for joining us to talk about Halloween Kills. Thank you for your commitment to watching 3 Halloween movies in like 24 hours for a 45-minute episode.
I just want to leave our viewers. Oh, you sorry, Ted. I've talked right over you.
It's okay. It's nothing. Don't ever ask me to do anything like this ever again.
That's because I talked over him. He's never coming back. I'm sorry.
He's never, The worst podcast guest experience of all time. By the way, if people want to help us out and you don't have the money to, what would really help us out is a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Sharing always helps. That's a free way to help the podcast, as well as just telling a friend if you like the show. Those are some great ways you can support us without having to reach into your wallet. Jimmy, I believe you had something for our listeners.
No, I had something for Ted too. It's like a combo. I want to just ask a question before we shut down this bar and I have you kick out Michael Myers because I'm not going over and talking to him. But
wait, what? I have to do it. I have to kick him out. What the fuck?
You're the guest. I'm sorry. You got to leave with him. You got to drive him home, dude. I'm sorry. Aaron and I have to clean
he doesn't
up.
Have
I'm definitely. I'm definitely dying with Michael then.
No, he's fine. It's after. No, it's after Halloween. He won't kill you until next year. So it's fine. But no, what if Stanley Kubrick directed an episode of Seinfeld? How would that be? That's my last question that I want to leave. I want to leave everybody with that thought.
Oh, God.
I think if Stanley Kubrick directed an episode of Seinfeld, the apartment would be the room from the end of 2001. And Jerry and Elaine and George would just be, like, really old. And there would be... George would turn into the giant super baby at the end of the movie. I would watch that. I would 100% watch that. I'm sorry. We really do need to shut this down. Ted and I have an important date to get to after this, but with each other. But I do have to say, my favorite thing. Hold on one second. I got a knock on the door.
I like how he says, we have an important date to get to. Hang on one second.
I think it's a bit. Is it a bit? This is staying in. I'm not editing this out, Aaron. I'm telling you right now. I'm done with it. I'm done with having to edit because you got to step away from the mic, dude. I'm tired of it.
I'm going to see if I can. See if I can slide over to my dresser and put pants on.
It is not a bit. Our good friend Teddy is here. He just showed up. I just wanted to mention before we go. I completely skipped my mind, but I rewatched Halloween 6 the other night. We rewatched Halloween, and I think we talked about this a little bit. My favorite thing about Halloween, the whole thing, the whole franchise, everything, is that Michael Myers does regular guy stuff, and, like, imagining that is so funny to me. Like, in the original Halloween movie, he drives a car, like, to Haddonfield, and you're like, does he have the radio on? Is he going through tolls? You know, in Halloween 6, he is stalking a girl who is taking a shower, and he hands her a towel as like a like she thinks it's her boyfriend, but it's him. But the idea that like Michael Myers, evil incarnate, is like also like, I'm going to hand her this towel. Is like extremely funny to me. So I encourage everyone to think about all of the normal guy stuff that Michael Myers has to do. He eats dogs, so he's got a shit.
And he hosts that Wayne's World podcast too. But I mean, other than
That's weird. I think the weirdest, yeah, that was the weirdest Halloween movie, was the one that where Dana Carvey was his sidekick and Rob Lowe was the villain.
What?
All right. That bit's been done 1,000 times. Thank you guys so much for coming to the show. Get the fuck out of our bar.
Get out.